Lord, we just welcome you. We thank you so much for what you've been doing in our prayer training and how you've taught us to come into your presence and how to release your spirit in all the different ways. And Lord, just to let you be free. And we have a heart now that we want to release you and pray in agreement with you, Lord, to release what you want to do. And we just thank you for that. And we pray you help us to hold on to that all the time, every time that we are called to pray. Today, Lord, as we move forward in what you have for us, we ask you to anoint, to just bring life inside of us, to own this, and lead anywhere you want to lead through it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to talk about what to pray for now as a body, as a group, because, I mean, we all have different personal needs and things we want to pray about, but we're trying to form a prayer ministry team, and that isn't just so that we can pray over people on Sunday morning who come forward, but so that we have a team of people who are giving themselves to pray for this ministry as a whole. So we want to find out, what I want to do today is I want you to create a list of things that's on God's heart and Scripture that we should be praying about, and keep that list somewhere so that in your own time and times we come together, we can say, God, we know these are things that are in your heart that you want us to be praying for as a church. But we still have to say which thing right now. What do you want to pray for and how do you want to pray for it and seek his will in these things? So I want to do a quick overview of some of the things that are on God's heart for us to pray for. This is not an all-inclusive list, but it's what I felt like he brought for today. And then we're going to have kind of a little burning bush ministry and talk about some of the specifics of what he wants us to pray for today. So one thing that he wants us to pray for is each other. That'd be number one, praying for each other on the team, the ministers of Burning Bush. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The word know, to know each other, and we've been working on that in our team here, that we would know each other. What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? Most of all, what makes you tick? What makes you function, you know? What are your needs? Where are you in need? What's on your mind? What do you think about? What's going on in your heart? How are you emotionally? And most of all, where are you at spiritually? So we want to really, really know one another. The way to live at peace together is to know each other. And the word says to esteem those who labor in the word among us highly in love. To esteem each other in love. So we need to even pray that God would give us his love for one another. Now, I think we've spent a lot of our prayer meetings here in 5 years praying for each other. And we need to always continue that as we need prayer. But that's something that needs to be on our list. Pray for each other at all times. Know each other. Get to know each other. Number two. Yeah. Sure.
Like, let's say we came on a Sunday and we need to, if we know each other and we're going to see something's wrong with somebody, but they can't really pray or effectively minister if sometimes you just can't pray for yourself and you need prayer,
right,
and whatever. And what I'm saying is we need to, you know, make sure that everybody's in a place where they can pray,
right,
and they're okay.
That's true. I mean, if we come in on Sunday morning and you're having a problem and you're not feeling like you could pray and you need prayer and you feel you need to come to the team and say, I need prayer this morning, then that's another way we pray for one another. Sometimes in our private meetings like this, if there's an issue and we take time to pray over that issue, we need, again, to be sensitive to the Lord, though. Because I know in the past we had prayer meetings where we had what we call prayer hogs, you know. Every meeting, I'm not looking at anyone, every meeting certain people would say, I just need prayer tonight. And whole 2 or 3 hours would go on that one or two people that would always do that. And others had needs too. Other people had needs too, but they actually never got a chance, you know?
Yeah.
They never got a chance to get prayer. And there's personality. In knowing one another, know that those that are outgoing and aggressive are always going to be the first ones to say, hey, I got a problem, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And usually, though it sounds like they have most of the problems, they don't. Because they're the ones that are constantly getting our prayer. The ones that we need to get to know are the quiet ones. The ones who don't ask. The ones who don't speak up. Because they will just sit back and let the aggressive people grab all the prayer and all the time. So we need to be watching people, and we need to be making sure that everyone on the team is being asked. And we did that at the house that one night. I know it was really cool. We're going, hey, Judy, you didn't have prayer yet, you know. And she's going, no, well, I don't need it. Yes, you do. So we need to make sure that we include everyone, even those that don't aggressively ask for it. If we see, you know, every now and then we just need to say, hey, how are you doing? Do you need prayer? Let's make some of this time tonight about you, you know. So I think we're doing pretty good on that. But again, everything has to be as the Lord leads, as the Lord leads. Because every one of us could probably walk in every time and say, give me all the prayer, I need it. You know, we need to consider one another. The second thing we need to pray for is the church in general. I'm going to say the church in general. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm saying that, well, I'm talking to Burning Bush. If anybody else is listening to the tape, they can apply this to their prayer team in their church. But the church ministry prayer team should be praying for the church. So what are some of the things we need to pray for in the church? Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 10 through basically through 21. I love Ephesians. I have prayed for years that we would have an Ephesians church. So we'll just take it starting in 10. We all there yet? All right. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. There's a whole lot in verse 10. There are principalities and powers in our town, in our state, in our country. We got to start with our town. There's principalities and powers in this area that affect the people of this area, that affect the churches, the government, everything. And God wants to give the wisdom of what they are and how to deal with them to the church. So you need to put that down. We need to be asking God for wisdom to reveal the principalities and powers of our area. And how to deal with them. Because that is given to the church. And are we asking for it? Do we know it? Do you know what the principalities and powers of Grand Rapids are? Do you know what the ones of just this area that our church is sitting in? Do you know what those are? I guess I could press that and see if anybody answers it, but we're going to put that in prayer. Manifold wisdom of God. I love that word manifold. Multifaceted wisdom of God is for the church. We need to be asking Him, God, we want this manifold, multifaceted wisdom. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the eternal purpose of Christ Jesus our Lord? What is the eternal purpose of Christ Jesus our Lord? If you don't know these answers, I'm not giving them to you right now. I'm giving you the questions. If you don't know the answer, there's some prayer material for you right there. This church ought to know those answers. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Do we have boldness? As a church, we do. As a prayer ministry team representing this church, we have a boldness. We have access. So if we don't know the answers to those questions, it's because we didn't ask. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's about to tell us what he prays for. That should be a good thing to be on our list. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here's the prayer. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You might want to take time later and go to this and list these, because this is what we want to pray for one another here as ministers here. That each of us would pray for the others to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in our inner man. That Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. That we would be rooted and grounded in love. Here's the prayer list, God's prayer list. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you don't know what to pray for someone who has surrendered their life to God, especially here on a ministry team, just pop open to Ephesians here and start praying that. That ought to cover it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We ought to be praying that Christ would receive glory in this place. And you know what? God is able to do far more than we're even asking him to do. Far more than we're asking him to do. And that's why we want to get into the Spirit when we pray for someone. Because our asking is shallow compared to what he can do and he wants to do. So there's a great prayer list for us right there in Ephesians that we should be praying for the people, for the ministers, for the people who are seeking God. Another good prayer list, I'm going to let you look this one up on your own. I'm just going to hit the highlights. In Revelation, starting chapter 4, Jesus speaks to the churches in the end time. Okay. What are some of the things he says to the churches? Just grab the meat of what we need to pray about. To return to our first love. That a church would never depart from their first love. Where we met Jesus. Where we fell in love with him. Where we were so dependent on him. So thankful to him. Returning to that first love. That we would not have false teachers. That we would have strong, sound doctrine here. That we would not be lukewarm. But that we'd be on fire for God. That we would endure during testing and trial and tribulation time. Go through the churches that he wrote to and just take out what he told them they needed to repent of and pay attention to. And it's a good prayer list for our ministry. That's in Revelation. Pretty sure it was chapter 2 and 3. Okay, I thought it was 3 and 4. Okay. Okay, and I'm talking about praying mostly for ministers, members, ministers, people that are dedicated to the Lord. These prayers apply to them. Then we have, look over in Acts chapter 20, then we should be praying for the flock, all the sheep that are here. They may not be sold out ministers yet, but they come here. They're saved. If they're not saved, they're not a sheep yet. So they are saved people that are coming here. And God has placed them here as our sheep. Acts 20, 28. This is a really big overview. We could take any one of these and make it the whole thing today. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. We need to feed the flock. We need to be in prayer about the feeding of the flock. What do they need to be fed? Oh God, please put on the heart of our teachers, our preachers, what we need to feed the flock. What do they need to grow strong? Maybe we've been feeding them milk and they need some meat. Maybe they need some corn. Maybe they need something that we're not aware of. God, show us what they need to be fed. This plays a lot into praying for the teachers and preachers here who do that type of feeding. But then it talks about the watchmen. Watch over them. Look out for the wolves. Even for the ones among you that start saying things you ought not to, that's perverting people. Keep your eyes open. God, open our eyes. Set up our watchmen. Show us what needs to be dealt with as far as wolves and false teaching. And open our eyes so we know how to take it into prayer. Prayer is a big ministry. Because, see, God has limited himself to moving through prayer. Harvey always says, you need to pray as if nothing would happen if you don't pray. Pray. Because that's the truth. If we don't pray, nothing will happen. So all these things he wants to do in the church, if we are not praying these things as the prayer team, they're not going to get done. And a church will just be stifled and die right where it's at. Well, prayer can wake it back up again. And that's our ministry, is prayer. Look at 1 Peter 5. First Peter, there you are. Chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So we need to not take it like a burden. Oh, God, I've got to pray for the sheep today. You know, I better put out 2 good hours. Let me name every sheep right here. We have to remember that this is a willing thing. It's not a burden. It's not a legalistic thing. It's just coming before God and saying, I am here to let you pray for this church. I'm here to let you pray for the sheep. Is there anyone you want to pray for through me today? Let the Holy Spirit bring up the names. I absolutely hate prayer lists. Harvey and I used to have a basket on our table filled with cards and names, and you'd meet a new missionary and you'd say, here's my card, would you pray for me? And you go, oh, another one, you know? No, really, we'd go, yes, we'd love to, and put it in the basket. And then we'd sit down at that basket and we'd pull them out. And we're like, okay, now this name is in front of me. Dear Lord, I pray that you meet their needs. I pray, you know, and just, what do you say? Same thing over every card. Same thing over every card. They don't need the same thing. They're individuals with different needs. We threw away the whole pray by the list card thing, and we just said, God, here I am. Oh, you brought Day-Day to mind over in Africa. What do you want to say about Day-Day? God knows who right now, who he wants you to pray for and what he needs. What he needs.
We have like 700 people. I bring in like stack of papers to pray for hours and just going down and basically just take your time to try to read through the list.
Yeah. Much less give any one of them sincere prayer. How in the world could you give sincere prayer to a list like that, you know? No note passing in class. I don't know what it says. You know what we used to do in school when that happened? We took the note and read it out loud. We'd say, oh, JoJo, did you know that Linda Sue likes you? I'm just teasing. I was on the subject of your prayer list. I wouldn't want to interrupt that. Oh, yeah. Jack, he's an awesome guy. He's an awesome guy. Okay, so now, that's praying for the sheep, and then we need to pray about the visitors and the seekers that are coming who are not sheep yet. Look at Luke 4. Chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There's a prayer list right there. God, we have poor people that come here that need money. And pretty much we don't have any. You know, we're running out. Lord, we have brokenhearted people coming here that need their hearts mended. We need to pray about that. We need to pray about getting captives delivered, getting people delivered who are bound in sin and habits and lifestyles they can't break free from. And the blind, how much healing? I mean, Paul says, I was called just to give sight to the blind. We've got spiritually blind. We've got physically blind. To set at liberty those who are bruised. The people who come here who are not yet in Christ, these are the ways we minister to them that make them see that God is real. So they come into Christ. So we're not moving in the power of these things. Maybe it's because we haven't prayed to release these things. So there's another prayer list. And I'm not saying list as in fill your basket. I'm saying as in I have these things written down. And now when I come to the Lord and say, I want to pray for Burning Bush, any of this that's on your heart, God, it's on our heart. We want to pray these things as your Holy Spirit will lead. Why aren't we seeing more people healed? Why aren't we seeing people set free? Why aren't we seeing the power of God that wins the lost here? God is after somebody here at Burning Bush. I'm telling you, hellfire gets hot at the end of every message lately. The last few weeks, it's been scary. Some win by love and some win by fear. God's after somebody who's got the fear side of that coin, because it seems like every service ends with something about hell and make a choice and time's running out, you know. And wow, somebody is just not responding, but I hope they will real soon. That takes time. But pray about that. Have you noticed that in church the last 3 weeks? Have you noticed how God is pleading for salvation through the speakers? That means there's somebody out here who needs to hear that, or he wouldn't be pleading. Begin to intercede. God, somebody here is not saved. Listen to the speaker going off about salvation, and the Spirit is leading him to do that. Somebody in the room is not saved. Begin to pray for them. Who is it, God? Find them, search them, convict them, draw them, break them. Begin to pray. Intercession when you see that happening. Somebody's got to get saved. I thought it was going to happen last week. I really did. I thought I knew who it was, and I thought they were going to come up last week, but it didn't happen yet. So we need to keep praying that way. Then James, book of James, chapter 5. Still talking about the seekers who come to visit us. Verse 14. No, chapter 5. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? But how many people have come forward and asked our elders to anoint them with oil, and they did not get healed? Why? Because it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If the faith in the elders praying isn't strong, if it's lacking, if they don't know what to put their faith in, if they're just going up and saying, be healed, they need to know what God is speaking. The elders need to know how God wants to move, exactly what he wants to say to the people, what he's going to do to heal them, the method, the timing, whatever. They need to hear from God so they have something to put their faith in. So let's pray that when the sick come, let's begin praying for those who are praying for them. If it's you or if it's someone else, God, we need faith. Tell us what you're going to do so we can believe you. Because faith isn't just wanting it to happen and believing it can. Faith is hearing what God says he's doing and believing what he says he's doing. So we need to pray that he will show us and tell us what he's doing when the sick come, that we would be able to believe him and speak out exactly what he says. You spoke about Jack Pridemore. Jack Pridemore is a hunchback. We weren't into the spirit-filled healing and all that yet, you know, and we were in a meeting where Jack Pridemore was there at a prayer meeting, and I felt like God said to me, if you would go over and put your hand on his back and speak healing, I would heal him, and he wouldn't be a hunchback anymore. And I was scared, and I thought, what if that's not God? You know, what if I go do that and nothing happens? And I did not move on it. And later, I don't know how much later, I spoke to Harvey, and God had told him the same thing that night. And he didn't move on it either. We were scared. We did not believe what God had said to us. So we need faith when he does speak to know that it's him and to move on that. And we need to pray that he would increase our faith. Faith is a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift. We need to pray that he increases our faith,
Amen.
That we hear him and we believe him and we boldly speak what we hear him saying he wants to do. We need to pray about that.
I believe that's Romans 12:3, that faith is a gift.
Okay, we'll go there. Romans 12:3.
So
we'll just hop right on over there and add it in. We'll hop right over there when I find it. There we go. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, it goes on to say we have many members in the body. If you're not hearing, don't speak. If somebody comes for healing and you're saying, God, I want to pray for them. Can I pray for them? Sure. And you go up there. You go, God, what are you going to do? And you don't hear anything. You don't hear him saying anything. And yet you're standing there thinking, they're waiting for us to pray for them for their healing, and they want to be healed, and we need to pray for their healing. And I better just move by faith and just claim that it's going to happen and start speaking their healing. You better not. You wait, because if you're not hearing anything, you might speak the wrong thing. Maybe somebody not quite as bold and fast-moving as you is hearing from God. You need to begin praying, God, I'm not hearing anything. I am not hearing anything. If another one of these ministers is hearing from you, give them the faith and the courage to move on it and to speak it. And maybe if you just keep praying that way, he's trying to use another member of that team and get them to speak out. And he's telling them what he wants to do. So we need to wait. And if he doesn't tell anybody anything, then don't say anything. Well, what about that person standing there waiting for their healing? What do I have to cover for God? Some people start just praying whatever the scripture says, even though they'll start pulling all the faith healing scriptures they know. Not necessarily because God said so, but because they think they have to speak and they don't know what he's saying right now. And they don't have a now word. Now he might bring a scripture to your mind and you believe God brought the scripture so you speak it. But that's not like saying, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I have to say something. So I'll see healing verses and just start spewing them out. No. Maybe God doesn't want to heal that person at all. Maybe there's a reason he doesn't want to heal them. Just because they came and asked for it doesn't mean they're going to get it. Ananias and Sapphira came forward for prayer and they died on the spot. I do think that's what they came for. I don't think that was their prayer request that day. But God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And we need to say, God, I'm not hearing how you want to heal them. I'm not hearing it. Do you want to say something different to them? If nobody gets a word, at some point in time, God will probably have you say, I don't know what the Lord is saying to you right now. And I need to wait until I hear from him. So give me some time. And maybe you just don't say anything. Maybe God is testing you to see if you're going to try to make something up and cover, you know. It could be he's speaking to them and they know very well why he's not moving and we just don't know, you know.
Adam,
Well, yeah, and I said that before when I was praying for the woman, and I was praying for people, and everybody was getting healed except her. And I just said, you know, let me talk to you in a few minutes, and you know, because I don't think this is the right time to pray for your healing. And she jumped up and said, it's because I'm in adultery, isn't it? You know, she knew why. And when I spoke to her, I very lovingly told her, if you do not repent of what brought this on you and God heals it, you will get seven times worse. You will be sicker than you were. God is very compassionate that he does not want to heal you when you're going to continue this and make yourself worse. You know, so you need to repent before he can heal you. He would love to heal you, but you need to repent first. I'm not going to repent. Well, then, out of mercy and kindness, he's not going to heal you today either. You know, and it's for you. It's not against you. He doesn't want you to get worse. So we just don't always know. And sometimes we hear, but we don't like what we hear, so we don't want to go with that. 1 Corinthians 3. No, we're moving on now to other things about the church, that we are the temple, we are his church, we're his building. 1 Corinthians. Well, let's just go there first and then figure it out. 3:9. It's kind of back on just the church in general, you know, why we need to do these things. We are the building of God. We are the temple of God. We're the farm of God. I like that word because that's here. It says, for we are laborers together with God. I like that part. We're laborers together with God. Whatever you decide to do, if God's not with you, it doesn't happen. But when you work with him, everything he says does happen. And our prayers always need to be in agreement with what he says, because then they're going to happen. And it says that you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. City folks, they don't get husbandry. You get to consider yourself his building. Either way, the husbandry is like a farm. The farmer farms his own farm. He doesn't go out and just plant corn for his neighbor. He farms his own farm. We are his farm. We are the place he plants his seed and he grows his crops. The church is his farm. Or if you're a city dweller, you are his business. God is going to do business in his own store. We're his business. We're the place where God does business. We're where he dwells. We're who he lives through. We are co-laborers with God himself. So we always need to come in agreement with what God is doing, and he will powerfully do it. He will powerfully do it. We're like his tools. We're his hands. We're his mouth. We're his eyes. We need to let his spirit completely see through us, hear through us, speak through us, walk through us, plant through us, reap through us. We are his building. 1 Corinthians 12, go over to chapter 12, in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, healths, governments, diversities of tongues. It goes on to say that we all have different gifts, and we need to function according to our gifts. But what God is looking for is a full force, full workforce, a full workforce. So, just because we're the prayer ministry team, and I know some of us are other things, but the prayer ministry team is like the fire under all the others, because God moves through prayer. So as you pray, you fuel the preacher, you fuel the evangelist, you fuel the healing, you fuel all of these things. This is where it starts, with prayer. This is what ignites the power, is prayer. So, if you're not praying for the speaker, he's probably going to not be anointed. If the prayer team is not praying for these things that are lacking, they're not ever going to come. And we know that God wants some things that are not happening here yet. So we need to bring them in through the power of prayer. Matthew 9.
What was the verse in the last?
1
Corinthians
12. 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28.
Okay.
Did I read it? I did read it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Matthew. I don't like you to beat me, so I don't tell you until I find it. 9. 37. You're fast and I'm slow. 37, 38. Yes. Yes, yes. We know you know the whole Bible. And I get lazy at home. I just say, what does this say? And he tells me, you know. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Why didn't he just send them? He said, you have to pray for it. You have to pray for it. He said, there's all kinds of souls out there that I want to reap. Pray that I will send laborers. He's not going to send them unless we pray it. Everything starts with prayer. Look at 1 Timothy. Subject, finances. Something we seldom talk about around here. And there's a reason we don't talk about it very much. That reason is because the flock has been fleeced so many times. Sheep have been sheared by money grabbers. You know, all the TV preaching of, you want 365 blessings this year? Send us $365 and God will bless you and he will abundantly increase you. And people have preached money to the lost. They have preached money, send you money, send you money, send you money. And so people feel like religion is nothing but money grabbers after your money. So God said to us years ago, I don't want you to do this for money. You're going to have to do some things and not get paid anything so that people will know that it is my heart and that it is not a man trying to rob them. So we've done a lot of things around here without asking for money. But where we do ask for money is in prayer. That's where we ask for money. God, we do need money. We need money. We have people in need that we're not able to give to because we don't have enough money. We have things we'd like to do. We'd like to send missionaries around the world. We don't have any money for that. We would like to do a lot of things that require money. Money is not evil. The love of it is. So we need to pray that God would move on the hearts of those who come here that have money, that they would willingly give it, that God would just rip it out of their heart into their hand, and that they would give it to God so he can do what he wants with it. So we need to begin to pray about the finances of Burning Bush. If we could knock that wall down, we don't have any money to rent the next space. We need money, and God will provide it as we pray it in. Again, it's prayer. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That's basically saying those that preach the word to you, that spend their life in the word, and then they come and preach to you what God has to say, they should get a double paycheck. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation. I didn't mean to go there. Just stop on the money part. My heart. I would love to put full-time preachers, full-time pastors, full-time intercessors. Can you imagine full-time intercessors that are paid to do nothing but pray all day? Wow. What would that do? I would love to see a full-time administrator here. I would love to see full-time, sold out, 100% people who've given their whole life to God paid by the church to do just that. I would like to see us support missionaries and send them to other lands. I would love to see us pay God's people because the laborer is worthy of their hire. I am so excited that we can give a little bit in that area, because many churches do nothing. I know huge churches that pay their preachers like $200 a week and expect them to earn the rest on their own somewhere, you know? So just, I would just love to see that happen here. I would love us to pray that in. Have a church that has a full staff of ministers all paid by the church so they can full-time serve God. That would be so awesome. Musicians, singers, dancers, all kinds of people. The first is coming soon?
Money.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. We agree on that. I'll look at Luke 10.
So what would you say next to that?
Finances. Just praying about the finances here. I would like to see us support everything God wants to do.
What was the, you had done visitor, you know, the flock, visitors and seekers. What was the next one that all this stuff was under?
Well,
that
we are the building of God. We are the building of God. If anything's going to happen, it's going to happen through us. We're His outreach. We're His body. Now we're getting just into some specifics like the finances. And look in Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. I want to talk about outreach. How churches should have an outreach. Anything that is just wrapped up in itself soon dies. If you are just consumed with yourself and you're a selfish person, you'll be miserable. If a church is all just self-imploding, it doesn't work. It dies. We are meant to reach out. We are meant to stretch out and take what we have and go out and give it to others and bring others in. So the outreach is what we're looking at here. Luke 10, 1 through 3. After these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. I like that. God sends us where he wants to go, because we carry him. I would like to go over to Wayland. Oh, let me send a couple of ministers over there, you know, because that's how I'm going to get there. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Out into the wolves. Sending a couple lambs out into the wolves. I like that. Normally the wolves come into the lambs so they can eat one. God said, I'm going to send two little lambs to the big field of wolves, and I'm going to win the wolves. I'm going to get the wolves. So he wants to send us out. He wants to send us. But again, how do we send? How do we send people forth? We need to pray. First of all, we have people volunteer that want to go, that he calls people to go, that they're willing to go, and then that financially, again, we have the money to send them. And where? Where are we going to send them? Look at Mark 16. In verse 15, one of my favorites. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God did not say, ministers, as you go, these things will follow. He said, everybody that believes you, these things will follow them. Where is this kind of faith today? Where is this kind of power today? If we don't go in power, we don't impart power. If we don't go in faith, we don't impart faith. If we don't have core groups that we send out to plant works and to win cities, they can't give what they don't have. If it's not happening here, it's not going to happen where we go from here either. So again, we need to pray. Where's the power? Why isn't the power here? Where's our faith? When are we going to see you do this here? and then send us out with it to take it and start at other places. Do you want to say something, Tom? Yeah, there you go. Everything is fueled by the fire of prayer. Let's release it as He leads us to pray it.
Yes.
Starts with prayer. Starts with prayer. Because the first step of faith is knowing that if we come in agreement with God and pray it, it is going to happen.
Amen.
That sets forth the faith ball right there. The fireball of faith starts rolling right there.
Sure.
Right. Acts. Just jump right in. Quit apologizing. Acts 6, 5. You're sorry? You apologized again. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's good. Acts 6, 4. Give ourselves. I need to write that in my note. Yeah.
I remember the too much verses.
Too much.
James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much.
Yes.
And then from John, in this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit.
And the first one in James, do you have the reference?
James 5, what is it, brother? 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man.
5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the other one was?
The fruit one is from John 15, I believe it's verse 5.
John 15, 5. Can we quote that one? And look it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
John 15, 5. There is so much in the word on prayer. We could just...
It's actually verse
8. Verse 8.
Herein is my Father.
Okay, it starts in 5, though, where it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same, bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then down in verse 8, we need 7 in there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You get that? If his words are abiding in you, you know what he's saying to you, then you ask what you will based on that and it will be done. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's awesome. Awesome.
Accomplishes much, much fruit.
Accomplishes much, brings forth much fruit. Prayer. Prayer. Fireballs of prayer. Okay, now if we want to go, and this is something we haven't been doing, but it's another vision that I see us doing. I haven't seen us do the first vision. I still have a vision that we need to start businesses that are primarily ministries so we can get out where the people do go and reach them. I have a whole study I've done now. It starts with a diamond as the cornerstone, Jesus, the built on the full body, same as apostles and prophets, and you have to have that workforce, and then the 7 pillars of wisdom. And if you will build a business this way, because it's primarily your ministry as a church for God to find people, if you'll build a business that way, it will just abound for the glory of God. I don't see people doing that yet. I've seen a couple people show me the business they want to start, and it's not built on that. But we want to go beyond that. We want to begin Bible studies in homes to get into more neighborhoods. Where do you live? Could we have a Bible study in your home on a Thursday night, like Rossman House? Have a Bible study in your home that your neighbors will come to that won't come to church. And we need solid ministers planted in those homes so that things are done God's way. That's a good outreach. We want to send people and start spreading out. But you know what? You have to be solid here. And then you can go within your own home, then to your neighbors, then to your city, then to your state, then to your nation, then to your world.
That's
how it's done, Acts 1:8. Look at Romans 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that right now. Romans 15. Not nice, Harvey. Starting on 19. Pride cometh before the fall. Yeah, uh-huh. You're in a summer season right now. Comes right before fall. 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. We don't need another church next door to a church that's already a good church. We don't need to keep just getting disgruntled Christians who don't like where they're at to come and join us. We need to plant works where Christ is not named.
Right.
We need to not build on another man's foundation. We need to find out where God wants to go, and that's where we need to go. How do we know where that is? Look at Galatians 2. I had a Galatians in my Bible yesterday. Oh, there it is. 2:2. Well, let's take 1 and 2. Then 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also. Verse 2, look at the first few words. And I went up by revelation. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. I went up by revelation. We need a revelation of where he wants us to start these things, of where he wants us to go. Why don't we have a revelation? Why don't we have an outreach? Because we need to pray some things here at home first. We need to pray them here at home. Last night we watched a movie which just left the theaters and went to rental called To Save a Life. Have you seen that? It's about a teenage boy that his best boy he grew up with as a child, and then he rejected him because this boy became popular. And he ignored his friend, and his friend ended up committing suicide. This boy ends up finding God. But as he's going to a church and he's listening to this youth director, I'm watching that youth director and I'm going, why don't we have one of those? Why don't we have one of those youth directors that's got a heart for teenagers that just lays down his life and wants to win the teenagers? How come we don't hardly have any teenagers? We don't have a youth director. You got a youth director, he'll gather teenagers because he goes out and finds them and brings them in. We need to pray for a youth director. We need to pray for a lot of things here. And all these things we've been saying so far, they're where we want to go. They're what we want to do. They're what we want to see God doing, because that's what he said to pray for in the church. Lord, we just want to offer ourselves as the prayer ministers here. That all these things we've seen in your word, we've read in your word, we do hunger for them to be here at Burning Bush. And Lord, those things we don't hunger for, we should.
Oh, yes.
So we're asking you to stir our hunger.
Yes.
We're laying ourselves down as voluntary intercessors, Lord. We want your Holy Spirit to move in us and stir us up with your desires, with your hunger, with your plans. Lord, all these things are in your word. You said this is what you do through your church, through your ministers. God, move on us to pray these things. Move on us, Holy Spirit. We will give you time. We will appoint you the time. If you will appoint us, your passion, your passion, your Holy Spirit to rise up and pray these things through us, Lord. We don't want to make it a list where we just run down it and say the words. But we want to give it to you and say, we've seen these things and we want these things for you, for your glory. Stir us up to pray for them. Stir us up to pray for them. And Lord, the list I'm about to read, stir us up for this. Stir up your spirit in us to pray these things in. We ask you to just light the fire of intercession. Light the fires of prayer here. for this church, Burning Bush Ministries. Burning Bush Ministries, we'd like to see it burn on a hot flame. Blue flames and red and orange and yellow and white and all the colors. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone has a particular ministry of God, a mission that they were sent here for, a purpose. And when I talk to people that feel like, you know, who am I? I have nothing. I frequently, especially with older people, like to go back to the dreams and visions of their youth, because that's when they were closer to knowing what they wanted to do with their life. And they probably went from this, all this stuff they wanted to do and wanted to be, and then they fell into, here's my 8-to-5 job with a paycheck to buy groceries, and it's all over. But it's not, because once you give your life to God, all of this had purpose. It works. Maybe not the way you thought it would work, but it's part of who you're created to be, and that's why you wanted to do what you wanted to do, whatever that was. I like to find that and stir that back to life again, because it comes together with who you are and what you're supposed to do here. Does everybody fit at Burning Bush? No. Unfortunately, most people, wide is the way that leads to hell and narrow is the way that leads to heaven. There are very few that actually care to get on that narrow road. And because Burning Bush stays on that narrow road with, you serve God, period. You know, we're not coming down here to go bowling and play ping pong. We're down here to serve God. So the people that like to go to churches that are social, we got a back room full of game tables for the kids, and we got a youth group that takes them bowling and just plays with them all the time, and they don't ever really surrender their life, but they're kept out of jail and they're kept out of drugs and they play together in a more clean way. They're not going to fit here. They're not going to fit here. You know, one of the things last night in that movie, he went to the youth group. He'd been at a drunken party where they're playing ping pong beer game, you know, and throwing ping pong balls and drinking their beer. It was their game. Then he goes to the youth group, and they're playing a drinking game with cans of pop. They made the guys take their dirty sock off and put it on the can of pop first. They had to drink it through. He said, oh, yeah, one more rule. You have to pass your can to the next guy. So you're drinking through somebody else's dirty sock, you know. They're all laughing and having a fun time watching these guys try to race drink through a dirty sock. But this one boy that had left the beer parties, because he said it's senseless. It's useless playing a beer drinking game. And he goes to youth group. They're playing a pop drinking game. And he says, what are you doing? How is this changing your life? You know, see, drinking pop instead of beer. How are you changing your life? How are churches changing lives? Most people don't want their life changed. They just want it a little bit blessed. So a lot of churches are there to give you a little bit blessed. Keep your kids off the streets. Hope they won't do drugs. You know, go to the movies with godly kids. And they're happy with that, but they don't really want God to mess with them. And we mess with everybody. So, no, we're not for everybody, because we're too in your face with, get right with God, you know? You know, Harvey had the word speaker stuck in his head. Everybody has to be able to get up and speak. And I said, that is not true. Yeah, you just need to teach them how to speak. Not true. Being called to be a speaker is one of the gifts of God. Everybody is not called to get up and speak. But somebody might not be called to get up and speak, but they are called to write. And they can write words that are absolutely powerful, but they can't talk when they stand up, you know? That's okay. They don't have to. So everybody is called to minister and to express the Holy Spirit through their gifting. But it may not always be leadership. Somebody might be called to actually teach some sheep how to be good followers. Somebody could be called. I love that at Bill Johnson's church, was he got thousands of members. And he said, our janitor is the most anointed prophet. Their janitor is an anointed prophet. What is his profession? Janitor. But his gifting is prophet. But he's not traveling around speaking like a prophet. And you know what? The people that go there, they find out he's got prophetic gifting. Those who are wise will go to him and listen to him. But those who are proud will go, he's the janitor. Why would God give him great words? Well, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So it doesn't matter if you're a follower or a leader. It only matters that you release God in any way that you can, in any gifting that you have. Right? I think of printers sometimes as not being a great leader. But if they weren't in that back room running the printing machines, we wouldn't have Bibles. Who printed your Bible? He's probably not a leader. But wow, if we didn't have printers, we wouldn't have Bibles. You know? So their gifting is important even though they're not a leader. And we need to discern what is their gifting. How do we get them confidently, boldly moving in their gifting, whatever it may be? I've known door greeters that will not miss a Sunday. They won't hardly take a vacation. They won't go to their grandkids' birthday party because they have to be there to greet everybody that comes in the door so they know that they're welcome. That's such an important thing to them, and they're good at it. I don't want to be a door greeter. And I don't really even like strangers, you know. God has to work on me about that. I go on Facebook and I never speak to anybody. I had a girl that was in our youth group. We were youth leaders for 7 years. One little girl that came on the bus. I never talked to her on Facebook. She saw my name, asked to be my friend. There she is. I never speak to her. I never comment on her pictures. She's put up pictures of her dog and her kids and never talks about God. And I just look at it and go, uh-huh, there she is, you know. Don't comment on it. But she put up something bad, and I commented on it. And I deleted her off my Facebook because she had a bad picture and I didn't want it on there. That little girl rebuked me good this morning. She wrote me and said, "You and your husband taught me not to judge people when I went to your church, but you judged me. You made a bad comment about it, and then you deleted me off your Facebook." And just some people who walk closer to God think they're better than anyone, you know. And she's like, "I felt bad enough when you rebuked my picture, and I immediately got rid of it, and you deleted me as your friend." You know, oh, man. She says, "Never once did you comment on pictures of my kids or anything else about my life. But the first time I did something you didn't approve of, you told me about it." And I went, oh, God, I'm so bad, you know. So I wrote her and apologized to her. But she finished it by saying, "It's because of Christians like you I don't go to church." Wow. So there's people. Their whole ministry is Facebook. I see them on there. They talk to everybody. And I didn't appreciate till this morning when they're commenting on, "Oh, your baby's cute. Oh, you got a new dog." I was looking at all that as silly small talk I didn't have time for. And because of not having time for silly small talk, that little girl felt rejected. So that's a ministry that I need to learn about. Dominion's a little different than leadership, too. I can take dominion over my property and demand that Satan is not going to step on it, and I'm still not leading anybody else. But I'm taking dominion over what God gave me. I'm taking authority over what God gave me. But I guess in some sense everybody's a leader of somebody. I mean, parents lead their children. I mean, we're all leading someone in our life. We're definitely all ministering to someone in our life. We're ministering to more people than we realize.